goodness me, it's off the pitch here at theprovince.com and SoundCloud and iTunes. I'm Mike Martinego. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's I like to lead usually with the "it's been a while" stained, and it certainly has been. Apologies for that. Life, work, some more work. Full disclosure, actually, this is the serious portion of the program. I'm never a serious person, let's be honest. But actually, there was a, I don't know why I'm being honest right now, but there was actually an illness in my family. And then you can say right now, you can go, "Well, Mike, you've been tweeting like an idiot every day." Well, it doesn't take a lot of effort to be an idiot, but to do a podcast, you gotta actually take some time to put it together. So, anyways, long story short, it's been a while, and I apologize. I've missed a truckload of Whitecaps action. Hey, everyone, I didn't miss too much. And by the way, on the family front, all is well now. So we're back at it, but loads of work. Loads of life, and I'm over it now. I'm over all of that. I'm back at it here on OTP. Wow, am I ever cheesy? I'm sorry. What an act all of this is. I'm kidding, everyone. But again, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for all the feedback. Thanks for the listens. It's very much appreciated. Again, on iTunes, SoundCloud, at theprovince.com. Of course, a big thanks to the people who help me out, and that means Meridian Plumbing and Heating, because if you want great service and if you want it done right, check out our friends at Meridian Plumbing and Heating. Full-service mechanical team that has you covered from the plumbing, heating, gas, the initial design, the finishing touch. Meridian Plumbing and Heating oversees your project and ensures every aspect is handled right. For more info, their website, meridianplumbing.ca, or give him a call, 778-227-8219. His name is Nathan, you fools. You're not fools. 778-227-8219. I think I got all the housekeeping out of the way to begin. I'll be doing this podcast and more in the next little bit here. You're probably thinking, Well, hey, idiot, you weren't really potting. Do people say that? I don't really like that. I don't know why I just said it, but I'll go with it. You weren't really potting, podcasting, if you will, while the Caps were playing. Look at the damn schedule here since the last time I did a program, and I think there's been, what, 4 games. And here you are claiming you're going to do shows when the Whitecaps have been just eliminated and an afterthought? Well, I will be. I'll do some interviews. I'll do some rambles about why Carl Robinson got an extension. How about that? No, I won't. But we will talk loads more Caps and MLS and soccer in general till the rest of the year and beyond. Why the hell not? I mean, come on. Let's do this, right? Who am I talking to right now? But let's get into this. And I mean, I don't know if you can hear it. I got just loads of papers here because this guy right here, he's Mr. Positivity when it comes to this Whitecaps team. I don't get all positive comments when I throw out some stats on Twitter, as I usually do, at Mike Martinego, if you're wondering. I also don't get negative ones. I mean, they are just fact based info, question mark, data, I don't know. A variety of numbers that I've kind of just gone over, and they're not earth shattering, and I won't go through every single one of them. But as you're well aware, as the first couple matches here in the knockout round of the MLS playoffs have taken place, well, all 4 in fact are done, and we're ready for weekend action down to the conference semifinals. MLS soccer, be there. But that's all set to go now. And again, we're not going to spend too much time, over the final 4 matches of the season, where the Caps won their final CONCACAF Champions League match. Of course, they finished first overall, in the seeding anyways. And they hook up with New York Red Bulls in late February, early March. They follow that up by getting eliminated from the MLS postseason race as they fell at home to Seattle. Then, and I mentioned this the last time I was doing the show, I mentioned, well, what if everyone, what if the Caps fall to Seattle at home? And that's a kick in the junk to begin with. But at that point, they're eliminated. Then they got to wait a whole couple weeks over, I guess back then, Canadian Thanksgiving, but I suppose who cares about that? The international break, the league shuts down. And then they got to get back at it for a couple of mean nothing matches. If you go back to that match in San Jose on October the 16th, the best way to put it is that was crap. That was just bad. A couple of clubs who are out of it, and they're just really, there's nothing to play for. And that right there was a good example, I suppose, for the promotion relegation crowd, I guess. And it doesn't always work out that way. And take your pick of league anywhere around the world, you're going to have a match. If it's a 20-team league, it's not going to be, you know, one against two and or two against four and then 18 versus 20 in this big relegation battle. I mean, you are due to have a couple matches in all the top leagues. It might be a mid-table clash, whatever the case. But in this scenario here, where Vancouver's playing San Jose, second to the last game of the season, and it absolutely means nothing. They're not playing for a cup spot. They're not playing for to stay up in the league. They're not, fighting for top spot. It was a pretty bad match overall. I mean, you were hard-pressed to find many highlights from that one. I mean, if memory serves, Masato Kudo hit a post. But outside of that, from a Caps perspective, Paolo Tornaghi got a clean sheet. He actually was allowed to play for once, but he picked up a clean sheet. And, I mean, you really didn't take much from that one. And then they wrap things up fairly recently here. 5 days ago at home, against the Portland Timbers, knocking out Portland, or eliminating Portland, as it were, from the playoff, opportunity, their potential. 4-1 victory at BC Place over the Timbers. Everything's better now. They did it, folks. They did it. I'm joking. But maybe not, actually. There was some positivity to come for a number of people after that match, and we'll get into that. But what can you say? I think it's a season at the end of the day. And again, I do have a number of sheets here to go through. Yikes. But it's a season that boils down to woulda, coulda, shoulda. And I've said that before, and I'll stick with it. I mean, it's just a case where they just really never got going, did they? You know, when you look at this 34-match season on the whole, you know, maybe there was that spell there in early May that they had a 3-match winning streak. But after that, do you really remember any points where they went on a consistent run? You don't, because it never happened. It was bad after that. It was a loss. It was a draw. It was a loss. Oh, there's a win and a loss and a draw, and then a string of losses. And I'm not going through every match here, but I mean, at one point this team, I think it was through 22 matches, and they were on 30 points with 8 wins, 6 draws, and 8 defeats, and that's not bad. 30 points from 22, and I want to say they were in around 5th spot in that Western Conference, so things were okay, yeah, I'm kind of making a face when I say that. But then they hit the skids, and that was after, and among those 22 matches there, that last of the 22 included a scoreless draw at Houston. And yeah, it was a bad Houston side. It was a Houston side that finished bottom in that Western Conference, but the Caps have always had difficulty playing down there. But after that was that phenomenal, ugly run for Whitecaps FC. Those final 12 matches of the season, and I'll be honest with you because it's been a little while here, but I don't recall the exact date it was, but MLS, I think it was prior to the last match of the season, probably after that San Jose match, but MLS on Twitter came out with it's a pretty cool but kind of sad graphic if you were a Whitecaps supporter to see how they just tumbled. There you could tell there was a certain portion of the season where it was like, okay, we're going to go down now. We're just going to fall down that hill and we are not coming back up. And it would pretty much started with that 2-0 loss at FC Dallas on July the 31st. That's where things started to slip away. That 12-match run where they only picked up 2 victories and 3 draws from it, 9 points out of a possible 36, and they went on that downhill slide, and you look at a team like Seattle, who was pretty much, give or take a match, the exact opposite. And it's a bit shocking at the end of the day. And we know Seattle picking up a late 1-0 victory over Sporting Kansas City to move on to play FC Dallas in the conference semifinals. But Seattle finishing 9 points clear of Vancouver. That's a staggering amount considering how bad Seattle was. And, you know, what was it, mid to late July when they ended up parting ways with Siggy Schmidt and staying with what they had and Brian Schmetzer, not Brian Setzer, but a guy who's been around for a long time, but I guess a fresh voice. Because all you could say really with that was Siggy Schmidt was tuned out by those Sounders players. And, you know, he led the way. He led the charge. And this is a side that didn't even really have Clint Dempsey for the whole part of it. And the Sounders, with a big push, and they got all the way to fourth spot. And they end up blowing by Vancouver and finishing 9 points clear of Whitecaps FC. Just stunning all around how that final run there for the Caps, final 12 matches where they only grabbed 9 points. I mean, if they stayed on a pace like they did through their first 22 where they picked up 30 points, they were probably going to make the playoffs. And again, it's a lot of woulda, coulda, shoulda, because I've already talked about how this team really never found their feet this year. And I think that was probably the most frustrating part for supporters was the fact that, you know, okay, you got off to a bit of a rough start when you lost 2, but then you won 2. And then you lost a couple, but then you got points from your next 2. And then you strung 3 straight wins together. But then after that, it was just so inconsistent and so all over the map. And that back half there of the summer, really, late July, August, all the way through here to October, was ugly times. And there was, you really can't pick out a great storyline from this season. Perhaps Alphonso Davies, I don't know, maybe Brett Levi's, but, you know, the Canadian angle, relatively young, obviously, in Davies' case. He's certainly young, but is that all you really got? Are you going to pinpoint maybe the fact that David Oestead and Pedro Morales almost got into a scrap in that final week of the season, where everybody afterwards were saying, well, if that fire existed earlier this year, maybe we wouldn't be in this spot. Again, it's all woulda, coulda, shoulda now, isn't it? Just a very, very difficult year for the Caps. They obviously, their record was not good. When you look at the big picture here, and you look back at the 6 seasons that the Caps have been in Major League Soccer, this is their second lowest point total. 39 points puts them second to 28. From their 2011 campaign. I mean, this was a bad year. They weren't good at BC Place. Only 6 wins from their 17 matches. In all, they were only able to grab 24 points from BC Place. And you know, those are very poor numbers. I mean, you look at the lack of clean sheets this season. And even worse than the clean sheets was the fact that they were giving up multiple goals per game there for a good stretch. I mean, you know, you think back to, you know, August and going into September. I mean, they were conceding 2 goals per game for a good string there. The discipline issue this year, I mean, it's stunning. And I don't have it in front of me, despite having all these papers and laptops, etc. But I think they didn't finish bottom when it came to points and team discipline. I looked a few days ago, but it looked as though the league hadn't updated their numbers. But Kendall Waston, the news coming down on Wednesday that he received a suspension for that. Was it a punch? Was it a slap? Who the hell knows? It was very stupid, but a shot to the midsection of Fernando Addy of Portland. So he gets the disco treatment, and he'll miss the first game of next season. 8 red cards this year, and Waston probably could have got one in that match for that offense. Fortunately for the Caps, and unfortunately for Portland, because that was a match they needed. That wasn't to be. But 8 red cards, and to add to that, 9 supplemental suspensions, supplemental discipline, 9 times. That's a stunning amount. I think I've said stunning 32 times already on this show. I mean, but seriously, that is a staggering amount, and it cost them in most matches. And you know, when you talk about the disco treatment afterwards, I mean, Kendall Waston, when all is said and done, I think he, you know, he left. Well, technically, no, he didn't leave that Portland match where he made that stupid challenge after the final whistle, because he got that whole match in. But he left a couple of matches early due to red cards, and he ended up missing multiple matches after. You know, so you know, when you talk about the play and the form, and then you also think about the lineup with so many guys in and out due to discipline problems. And you know, across the league, it's such a mixed bag with refereeing, and we saw it on Thursday night here in that Seattle Sporting Kansas City match, when Ozzie Alonso commits just a stupid challenge on a yellow card and remarkably doesn't get a second yellow. Meanwhile, and Alonso probably could have been yellow carded 3 or 4 times in that match. Benny Failhaber, he probably could have seen a couple of yellows as well. He's losing his mind. You know, the referee there, Elfath, is thinking, well, you know, we want to keep everybody on the park, and that simply it's not right. You need to control the match, and that's not even going into the details of the offside goal. Offsides, everyone. Let's do it, USA. The offside goal that was scored by Nelson Valdez. Anyways, the main point I'm talking about here is officiating, is refereeing, and the Caps felt it this year. And the Caps were targeted. I mean, you know, we aren't kidding when we say that there's, you know, Whitecaps matches are watched a bit closer, I would say, than other clubs. And again, I don't think that's breaking news, but they didn't help themselves either. Were some challenges in matches absolutely, could they have gone either way? Sure. Were there some controversial moments? Sure. They also didn't help themselves. Now, I think the disco process is something that is, what's the best way to put it? Mind-numbing? I don't know. That's for you, Pratt. It's such a unfortunate process, and I do get it, but at the same time, you're taking the power from referees. It's the Big Brother style. A player doesn't see a card in a match for something that's questionable. Days later, he finds out that he's going to miss the next one. It just seemed like this year it was going out of style league-wide. And the Caps, I mean, when you look at Waston a couple times, Christian Bolaños twice, Blas Perez got one for what he did in that Seattle match, so he missed the second to last match. I mean, the list goes on. All said, though, whether it's poor refereeing, which there certainly has been, or some questionable decision-making, whatever the case, the Whitecaps had a major discipline problem in the 2016 year. And they got lucky sometimes too. And I said it before, that whatever the hell Kendall Waston did, because and people were debating, was it a punch? Was it a slap when he hit Adi? Whatever the case, it was so stupid. Like, why are you doing that? I know there are physical moments. There's an elbow here. There's a shirt tug there. There's a push here. Why are you hitting him very visibly, no less? You know, like right in front of the Portland bench. I just don't understand the mindset to do that. And I think he's got to look in the mirror too and understand how bad of a year he put together, how much of a drop it was from 2015 to 2016. And we'll probably go through the roster, the players, looking ahead to next season. I would believe that Kendall Waston would be in Vancouver, but is that a risk you want to take? Game in, game out, the uncertainty if he's going to stay on the park. The uncertainty if he's going to do something stupid, that maybe he'll stay on the park, but maybe the next match he won't be there because Disco will come calling because they watch him very closely. It's a big question, I think, for the Caps and for the coaching staff, who will remain. But again, the numbers pretty ugly on the whole. They finished 7 points back from the red line. Why is the league calling it that, by the way? They didn't make the playoffs. They missed out on the playoffs by 7 points. I already talked about it was their second lowest point total in their time in Major League Soccer. And it was a pretty decent dip too. I mean, from 2015 to 2016, 14-point drop. They showed steady progression over the years, 2011 to 2012, 28 to 43, they go up 5 more points, they go up 2 more points, they go up 3 from that to get to 53, and then they drop all the way in 2016 by 14 points. So with all that said, with the poor form, with the ugly back half of the season, what do you do? You got big decisions when it comes to your coaching, right? What's going to happen? Oh, I know what you do. You give them contract extensions. The best way to put it is this way, and I've been saying this for a while here. As bad as this season went, there was no way that the Caps were going to part ways with Carl Robinson. It wasn't going to happen. Robbo was here to stay. The committee or I usually focus on the kind of the trident, the trio of Bobby Leonarduzzi, Rachel Lewis, and Greg Anderson. They are here. And I've talked and ranted about them in the past, about what their roles are, where they sit, should they be at fault. I've kind of said yes, well, to some extent. But they're going to stay, unless some job comes calling, and I don't know if that's going to be the case, but I don't think, And by I don't think, I mean like this is probably about 98%, they will not get canned. They've been a part of this ride. They seem to be the team that is very much trusted by majority owner Greg Kerfoot, the mystery man, Greg Kerfoot. But they're his people. Okay, so we got that out of the way. With Carl Robinson, I mean, this is a guy who is running this team. And, you know, I think media certainly would have to say supporters don't fully know what Bob Leonarduzzi and Greg Anderson and Rachel Lewis, what they do. They aren't fully aware. But I've said this before, I've said it online, and I've said it on the podcast. Carl Robinson, he very much pulls the strings of this team. You know, does he get support? And I was going to say guidance, question mark, but I'm not going to go down that road because I don't think he does. But I guess, does he get the final stamp of approval from the trio and beyond? Yes. But, you know, if Carl Robinson can find players, and unless they're going to cost the team, you know, $2.5-3+ million, if he can do it under that, I think it's all him. So again, it wasn't surprising to me that Carl Robinson and company, Martin Pert, Gordon Forrest, were sticking around. It wasn't. What was surprising is that it was announced as quickly as it was, and it's all the way through to 2020. I mean, that's a that's a big commitment, because and again, this isn't breaking news, but this season was not a good one. And yes, there's great belief from the Caps front office that Robbo will change things up and turn it around, and this side will be competing for perhaps top spot in the league next year and a great run in the postseason. But I mentioned that those final 12 matches where they only grabbed two wins, and one of those wins coming in the last match of the season, 9 from a possible 36 points. What if Robbo and co. start really poor in 2017? What if they only win one of their first 10 matches? You got to stick it out then, right? I mean, I can't see them being the Caps buying Robbo, Pert, and Forrest out. I mean, they're extended through 2020. So it's quite a commitment. Again, it was surprising to see how quickly it took place, how long the agreements are for. Good for Robbo and his guys that he can get those covered. And you know, for as bad as 2016 was, I guess there's a bright spot, meaning the CONCACAF Champions League and the quarterfinals, which get going early next year in February, March. But it's certainly a commitment that the club has made to Robbo and to Pert and the Forrest. I think a lot of people, and it's fair, a lot of people questioned it. And just to reiterate for the 330th time, he wasn't going anywhere. He wasn't. It was just nobody's going anywhere unless it's on their own account. You know, he was not getting canned. It is funny, and I threw this stat out earlier this week, and I actually put it out there probably 3 weeks ago, and then I followed up with a kind of final update. His winning percentage, when all said and done, his winning percentage is not much better than Martin Rennie. But the opinion and the ideas and the belief, night and day difference to Martin Rennie. That's what's very interesting about all of this. And it's not to say that they hated Martin Rennie, but, you know, Robbo just, he they believe him. Rabo has the power. He pulls the strings, and it's actually fascinating. It's kind of funny to think, you know, when Martin Rennie was let go in what, October 2013, Rabo was not the front runner for the job. He was left on the back burner for quite some time. There were a number of others who were talked about. I think two of the bigger ones were Jesse Marsh and old Swansea City Bob Bradley. I don't think that was ever close. But Rabo was not really the go-to guy there. He was just kind of loitering in the background. And, you know, and I said it in the past, the club didn't look good in that regard. The way they kind of hung him out and dangled him a little bit. Not dongled, dangled him a little bit. And made him wait. But he finally got it. And now it's kind of, it's gotten a bit crazy because he's now got the power. He's got the contract extension and he's pulling the strings. He's the guy finding the players. He's the guy who's signing guys. Carl Robinson is the guy for Whitecaps FC. And like I said, it's just funny how it kind of went. I was going to say full circle. I don't even know if that's right, but he has taken control of the situation and he's got a big commitment from the club now. And, you know, the big statement, one of the key kind of quotes from Bobby Leonard Doozy a couple days ago was just that Carl Robinson's one of the top up and coming head coaches in North America. Can't let him slip away. He didn't say that part, but that's what they're implying. And yeah, Robbo's got some job security here for the next little while. And again, you know, what if? And I know there's a lot of question marks there, but what if the Caps struggle out the gate in 2017? I think there's going to be more questions than answers for that front office and what the hell they do moving forward with this club. You know, the big thing in all of it, and I've talked about the power that Rabo has, because I've said this as well, is that has the front office, with the exception of a high-priced DP, has the front office really held him back? You know, these players, 2016 edition, they were his guys, and they failed mightily, minus CONCACAF Champions League. In MLS, they failed, and it's, you know, it's not just in one area. On the field, there seemed to be division off the field as well. It was a tense locker room at times. We saw that come season's end here with Osted and Morales. And who does that fall on? I mean, that's not necessarily the front office, is it? That's Carl Robinson. That's his coaches. There was something missing there. And anyway, we've talked about it, we being me, talked about it numerous times this season. And I'm talking about the in-match stuff now. I mean, the difficulty to adapt, the predictability of the substitution coming in minute number 62. So, again, with all that said, a bit surprising how that came out as quickly as it did. But Rabo's the man. He's got it covered, doesn't he? He's laughing right now. He might be in the air as we speak, going to South America. That was the talk a couple days ago about how he was getting right back at it, and he was going scouting, he was going to find a key player, perhaps a difference maker. That's what the team needs, don't they? They do. They actually really do. When you look across the league, and they don't always have to be that high-priced DP. You can get somebody a little cheaper, and you look at Ignacio Piatti in Montreal and the performance he put together for the Impact in their victory over DC United as they moved on to play New York Red Bulls in the next round here in the MLS playoffs. You know, Pedro Morales was not Piatti. He was not Lodero. He was obviously not Sebastian Jovinko. I mean, the list goes on, and they need to find somebody to be that guy. They need that playmaker, that perhaps goal scorer. Well, Pedro Morales, he just actually punched me right now and said, "Mike, I was the golden boot winner for Whitecaps FC in 2016, so sorry, Pedro." How did he do that, by the way? I know he had a bunch of penalties, but it's just funny how he ended up winning the golden boot. The moral of the story is they need their high-priced talent to be their best players, and Pedro did not offer that. I mean, were there a couple of matches where he stood out? Yeah. Were there a lot of matches where he didn't? You betcha, Jimmy. They need more, and as the months have gone on here, and especially over the past couple of weeks, past days even, you know, you could very much see that Pedro Morales, there's doesn't look like it one bit that he'll be returning to this Whitecaps team, and that's not surprising after after the year he had, and I think the lack, you know, a bit of a disconnect with him and some of his teammates. It just didn't work out, and what are you going to do? I think overall he wasn't the worst DP signing. I mean, he put together a decent string. I mean, his first year in Vancouver, he was terrific. He was one of the league's best. But after that, it wasn't consistent enough. It wasn't good enough, and the Caps needed more. And so, who's going to be found by Carl Robinson and company is a big question. So many key points in this season. I talked about the first 22 matches where they had 30 points, and they had 8 victories and 6 draws from those 22, and the 12 game slide that took place. You can break it down even further. I mean, split the season in two and look at the first half versus the second half. The first 17 matches, they picked up 24 points, 7 victories, 3 draws, 7 defeats. You look at the back half, and they only picked up 3 wins from their 17 matches. 24 points in the first half, 15 in the second half. And again, you know, Vancouver and this team, Whitecaps FC, have kind of grown accustomed to it each year. It seems to be, and it's a bit cliche and a bit silly, but it kind of goes down this road, doesn't it? Where it's like the summer. There seems to be a bit of a turning point in the year, and I was thinking about this recently, if you were to look back at each season that this club has been in Major League Soccer, and you know, try to pinpoint a pivotal moment in the year where things kind of hit the wall, and you know, if I were to look at 2011. I kind of crossed that out. It wasn't, we're not going to count that. That was not a good year on the whole. It was an expansion season. I don't think a lot was really thought of. I've marked down 2012, and it was August 15th match against FC Dallas, where they lost. That was Martin Rennie's first year. Now, they made the postseason that year, but that was the beginning of a rough spell for the Caps. 2013, I've pinpointed late July. Oh, I miss you, pal. A Junmarcus Davidson red card, where it was a bit of a turning point in the year for the Caps. Wow, Junmarcus Davidson reference. It's been a long time. 2014, early July, they blew a 2-0 lead against Philadelphia. There's just some kind of matches that stand out. I think back to 2015, where Sporting Kansas City came back from 3-1 down to win 4-3 at home. And if you were to look at one in 2016, and again, this is not scientific, but maybe when they fell at home, well, they won the match, but they fell over two legs in the Amway Canadian Championship to Toronto FC. And there was that, I mean, it was a big collapse in the end. David Oestead barging into, or was it Kendall Waston barging into David Oestead? Lo and behold, Will Johnson with the goal, the away goal that gave TFC the Amway Canadian Championship. It's kind of weird how the seasons have worked out and how they haven't been able to have just a consistent run. It's been up, it's been down, and just a couple of matches there that have kind of stood out over the years. I talked about first 22, last 12, 17. You have to throw out Kakuta Mane too when he got hurt. Now, oddly enough, the Caps were actually pretty decent right after he got hurt. They were unbeaten in four, in fact. But after that, and you know what happened the rest of the year, they simply weren't good. I think what was funny in the whole thing with Kakuta Mane, and he hasn't been talked about lately, unless Point Roberts is brought up or something. But the funny part about that injury, and if you can just the whole process, the progress of his recovery, was the club initially threw out, oh, you know, he'll be back in about 6 weeks. Yeah, come on. Come on, guys. And I'm not a doctor, but the old broken fifth metatarsal in your foot, not good. You know, it's a very difficult and popular injury too. I mean, think back to Wayne Rooney having that. David Beckham's had it here in Vancouver. Omar Salgado has had it. And here, Kakuta Mane. I mean, if you're talking about 6 to 8 weeks for an injury like that, I mean, you're a joker. I mean, smokers are jokers. That's just simply not going to happen. And, you know, this is a guy who got injured in the 19th game of the season, and they play 34. I mean, he ended up missing over 15 matches in the end. And, you know, I'm curious to see how he should very well be fit for February. But, you know, this is an injury that takes a truckload of time. And again, it was just kind of more humorous to hear the club initially say that. And they, you know, once the surgery was announced, they very much shied away to try to put any date on it. You know, there was a hope that he might come back this season, but they knew in the back of their minds. And I had said earlier in the summer too, like, there's no way this guy's not coming back, because that's a tough injury. And once that happens, I mean, if you, and again, everybody has seen it on probably one of their favorite players who's experienced this type of injury. If you rush it back, if it doesn't get right, if it's not fixed properly, then guess what? You're sitting for a bunch more time longer. You're not playing, and you're going to miss out on a big chunk of your progression as a player. And, you know, I think that's been one of the more frustrating problems for a guy like Omar Salgado. I already mentioned him once, but he was a guy who picked up that injury in Vancouver, and I think he tried to rush back a bit, and it cost him in the end. It didn't work out in Vancouver anyways, and, you know, he's trying to find his footing now as he's moved on from the Caps organization. Time for a pause here on OTP. Again, thanks for listening to the return episode. Somebody just handed me a bouquet of flowers. Thank you so much. That's an absolute lie. I'm doing this in essentially a prison cell. I've gone through a lot of numbers, a lot of different points in the season, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. I want to talk some players on the other side. Who's coming? Well, I don't really have that answer, but who's going? Who's not going to be here next year? We already have a firm idea of a couple names, but we'll look at some of the players from this season and their chances moving on to next. Talk some MLS as well, MLS being the rest of the league, the playoff situation four matches already in the books. Conference semifinals, those matchups are sorted out, so we'll talk about that as well. I'm on Twitter, at Mike Martinego. I'm on The Province. I'm at SoundCloud, iTunes. Oh boy, it's off the pitch. Suck it! And we're back to Off the Pitch here, theprovince.com, soundcloud.com. I'm on iTunes as well. You can download, subscribe, listen, love, something like that, whatever, in whatever order you prefer. I'm Mike Martinego on Twitter, at Mike Martinego. You missed me. I know you did. So we're back at it after a bit of a very brief, not really, about a month hiatus, but talking loads of soccer here. A lot of Whitecaps off the top, and yeah, ugly end. Well, maybe not. That was too many ugly. They're just an ugly year for the Caps. Hey, but they won the Cascadia Cup. Pedro Morales was the Golden Boot winner of the Cascadia Cup competition. He actually scored a bunch of goals, didn't he, in that competition? What did he get? Four? Five? Jesus, Pedro. Fill in the net. He's not going to be here next year. OTP brought to you by Milano Coffee on Denman in Vancouver. It's on the corner of Denman and Harrow, serving award-winning espresso, homemade gelato. For more info, check out their website, milanocoffee.ca. You can give them a follow on Twitter, at Milano Denman. Milano Coffee, West Coast heart, Italian soul. There's that creepiness, that factor, that creep factor is back in action here on OTP. So I mentioned before, talked a lot of numbers and all the scenarios that could have happened that didn't, but I mentioned players and looking ahead to next season and who goes, who stays, blah, blah, blah. There's going to be a number of changes with this side. There really is. There really is. And I can briefly run through this roster and just list off a few here. And, you know, the future of a guy like Sam Adekubi is maybe up in the air. You know, he's been loaned out to Brighton in England. Fraser Aird, and he's been a bit of a hot topic on Twitter anyways with Whitecaps fans and some media. What does his future hold? Because Jordan Smith is gone. He's going back to Costa Rica. Fraser Aird, you know, it wasn't a great year for him. Does he go back to Rangers? What happens there? Very curious to see what happens for the young Canadian international. And if he does go, if he doesn't come back, well, the Caps are going to be down a couple of right backs, so they're going to have to fill that void there. I think a lot of people have said that Giles Barnes will be gone. I'm curious. I don't know if his two goals in that final match have saved the season for him, but I'm curious to see what happens. A guy who makes a lot of money, he was supposed to, well, potentially fill the void of, and I kind of say that tongue in cheek, of Octavio Rivero when he left. But you know, I think the belief is he'll be gone, but I'm very curious. You know, there some people say, well, he can go back to England. He might be, you know, maybe he'll go back to England. Is Giles Barnes going to make that type of money in England? Is he? I don't know. I'm not his agent, but I'd be surprised if he could make that money. Because he's making decent money in Major League Soccer. And he's a guy who can score goals. But, you know, they brought him in from Houston and didn't really fit. He was kind of all over the map and he really didn't get consistent play. And he showed some glimpses, but he wasn't great. So very curious about the future of Giles Barnes. Christian Bolaños, I just don't see him departing, although I guess I wouldn't be surprised either. Again, I'm not going to run through every player. Alphonso Davies will be the star next year. Okay, I'm teasing a bit, but he very well would have an expanded role. I'd believe that anyways. Curious to see if Marco Bustos can get more time. Marcel De Jong didn't play much down in the final couple matches, but the belief would be, well, he's safe. He's not really playing for work. So I think there's just so much uncertainty with this side here. I mean, they're obviously, you know, if you look at the key dates to watch this offseason as listed at MLS Soccer, yes, Major League Soccer, soccer.com, or on the Whitecaps website, there is an expansion draft, and they protect players eligible for the draft, free agency. Very curious to see who the Caps will leave exposed and what players might be taken from them. So, again, you know, you by the way, just a side note in this off-season calendar, are you also excited for the half-day trade window, which takes place on Sunday, December 11th? It's so damn stupid. Damn you, Major League Soccer, soccer. Christian Dean, you know, is this a guy that he had another tough year, personally, professionally? Is this a guy who they continue with, or maybe, you know, does the door open and he gets the chance to move on? You know, it's a good question. Again, for the ninth time, I will not go over every player. Jordan Harvey ended up winning Player of the Year, which is a bit of a head scratcher. And, you know, you don't often see a left back winning Player of the Year. But, you know, he's at 32 years of age. Could he be out the door? I don't know how Andrew Jacobson didn't win Player of the Year, by the way. So such a versatile player. I've really grown to like Jacobson. And if the Caps were to leave him exposed for the expansion draft, I myself, just as a fan of Jacobson, would not be happy with that, because I think he offers quite a bit to this team in terms of his versatility, but also his leadership. You go through this roster, and again, there are so many questions with a number of players. I mean, do they take a pass here on Masato Kudo and potentially, you know, cut ties with him? Rough year for him. Pedro Morales, we've already discussed him. Curious about Tim Parker, because I think he plays a big role for this team, but what happens there with David Edgar and with Kendall Waston in the mix? This is a side that doesn't play three center backs. I mean, this is not Juventus. This is not a situation where it's Barzagli and Bonucci and Chiellini. They're not doing that with the Caps. So Tim Parker at 23 years of age, a guy who wants obviously to grow and maybe take the next step and get more attention of the U.S. men's national team. What's his situation? Interesting offseason ahead and some big decisions for this club, but I think there could be quite a bit of turnover. Blas Perez, I mentioned on Twitter earlier this week, for me, very undervalued, underused by the Caps. I don't quite understand how he was behind a guy like Eric Hurtado on the depth chart. It just seemed like he wasn't trusted a lot, and it's a shame, because this is a guy who's been able to score goals in Major League Soccer and also score goals internationally. And it just didn't really work out for him in Vancouver. Mentioned Jordan Smith, Christian Teixeira, crap here for him. I've talked about Russell Tybert in the past and how he's kind of plateaued. That's always the word I've gone with Tybert. He's plateaued. And he had also, I mean, how many times can I say here, this guy had a bad year, this guy had a rough year? Russell Tybert fits in that column as well. And we talked about Waston earlier. Paolo Tornaghi is perhaps a bit of a question mark. It's a cheap backup, very cheap, and he's very competent. But, you know, do they move on from him and maybe look from within and give him his papers? So, yeah, there's a number of players. If you're looking at a 28-man roster here, you're easily half this team. There's some question marks with and that speaks really to how bad of a year 2016 was. Yes, I know they won the Cascadia Cup, and yes, I know that they've moved on to the quarterfinals of CONCACAF Champions League. I'm aware, but it was not a good year for this side and for a number of players. I mean, you talk about the downplay, the poor seasons of a guy like Kendall Waston and Pedro Morales and Christian Teixeira. I mean, Matias Laba, who's been such a pivotal player for this side, wasn't good. David Oestedt didn't have a great year. I mean, the list goes on. How many of these guys struggled in 2016? So they're going to look to turn the tide here, and they're going to have to bring in some new bodies and perhaps some game changers, some difference makers to start 2017 off with a bit of a bang. And they're going to have to get that going soon, because they do have a big first leg February the 22nd in New Jersey against New York Red Bulls, and then the first week of March, the return leg, when they host the Red Bulls for leg number two to move on to the semifinals of the CONCACAF Champions League. So I've mentioned it a few times already, MLS playoffs, something the Caps are not in. They are in full swing, the knockout matches already in the books. Toronto FC victorious over Philadelphia. How about that Philly defending? How trash was that? Did they want to try to advance? I mean, all three goals were just piss poor. Atrocious stuff. And TFC taking advantage and winning that one 3-1. They move on to two matches against NYC FC. It's going to be just a good old couple of Italians in Sebastian Giovinco, Andrea Pirlo. But I'm curious, and I know there's been a lot of talk for Oscar Pereja at FC Dallas, or perhaps a Pablo Mastroeni at Colorado. You could have a Jesse Marsh in there at New York Red Bulls. But for me, the guy who stands out is Patrick Vieira at NYCFC. And you know, let's not kid ourselves. He has some good players at his disposal in Pirlo and David Villa and Frank Lampard. He's gotten some good play out of Frank Lampard too, who was really crapped on by myself and a number of others. But for this guy to come over and not really know the league and to do as well as he did, and again, they have good players, but you know, this would be probably my pick for coach of the year, the way he was able to get them all on the same page. I mean, they can't defend if their lives depended on it, but they make for some entertaining games. So, and I don't think Patrick Vieira is waiting and watching and anxious to win coach of the year. I'm actually certain of that, but he's done a pretty good job here in 2016 in Major League Soccer. So I think, really entertaining stuff, the two legs between NYCFC and Toronto FC. Again, on Wednesday, LA Galaxy, a 3-1 victory over RSL. LA doing it a bit of a different way, with Emmanuel Boateng scoring twice. Robbie Keane on the bench. Steven Gerrard, was he even on? No, I don't think he even was on the bench. I mean, this is a guy who's pretty much done. He's probably going back to Liverpool very soon. And you talk about a side that's going to look different next year, with maybe Robbie Keane gone, Steven Gerrard very much gone. A lot of talk that Wayne Rooney might sign with the LA Galaxy. So this will be a different looking Galaxy side. But before they get to 2017, they still got work to do in this season. They dump RSL and they move on to play Colorado in the conference semifinals. And the two matches on Thursday include Montreal going to DC United and grabbing a 4-2 win. Impressive stuff from the Impact. With all the turmoil that they've faced with Didier Drogba, and he's the storyline, right? He's the guy. But you know, him kind of walking out on the club, and then it's all fixed and it's settled, and then he's not he doesn't make the trip to DC United, and the talk afterwards on Thursday night was, well, from Mauro Biello, was he may be there and ready to go come Sunday afternoon. Who knows? But the fact that the Impact were able to do what they did against a pretty decent DC United side, grab that win, go up 4-0 at one point. Piatti was fantastic. Laurent Simon was terrific as well. A couple of goals from Matteo Mancosu. Marco Donadel was good controlling the midfield in that match. That's now three playoff wins for Montreal here in the past couple of years. Leading the way for Canadian clubs, by the way, if you're wondering. You probably already knew that. Montreal with three, Toronto with their victory at one. Vancouver doesn't have any. But I wasn't trying to be a dick there, by the way. It's just the way it's worked out. But a very impressive performance from the Impact, and they will take on the other New York side, New York Red Bulls, come Sunday. And that final match, and I talked about some of the questionable refereeing on Ozzy Alonso and Benny Failhaber earlier. A goal scored by Matt Beisler, taken back because of a correct offside call late in the second half at CenturyLink in Seattle. Nelson Valdez with a terrific header, clearly offside, missed. Sounders take a 1-0 lead. They hang on for a 1-0 victory. They go through. Do mistakes happen? Of course they do. Of course they do. There's no disputing that. But Sporting Kansas City did kind of get the old Seattle screw job on Thursday night. A difficult way to go out. They had the chances in that game too, and you could blame them. You could fault them for that, not taking those opportunities. But they did not get the benefit. There was a bad call. It was simply put a bad call, and they have been knocked out. And Seattle, with that kind of mid-season, late season momentum, carries them past. Again, they weren't great against Sporting Kansas City, but it was at home, and now they take on FC Dallas on Sunday. Just a sacker Sunday in Major League Soccer. Kicks off at 12 Pacific time, Montreal at home to New York Red Bulls, then at 2, LA home to Colorado, then at 4, it's TFC home to NYCFC, and then at 6:30, it's the Sounders home to FC Dallas. You know how I feel about these MLS time slots. It's going to be an absolute mess, and those kickoff times, by the way, there's no way those are going to be accurate. I don't think the first one kicks off at 12. I know the second one won't start at 2. The first two are on ESPN, by the way, so I think when all is said and done, it's probably going to go, quarter after 12, and then the next one will start at like 2:30. It'll be an absolute disaster when it comes to kickoff times. But those are the times they have on their website right now. So eight teams remaining here in Major League Soccer playoff action, conference semifinals, two-leg series. This is going to be interesting to see. You have a couple Canadian sides in the East against a couple of sides from New York. So that's going to be pretty cool. Could it be all Canadian? 1-1? Could it be both New York clubs? And then the West, LA against Colorado, and then FC Dallas and Seattle. See if Seattle can continue on a bit of a run here they've put together in the back half of the season. I'm not going to talk any Europe. I'm going to call it a day. I don't feel like it. How about that? But I will talk some Europe over in the next little while. I certainly will. We'll have some guests on to do that. He doesn't know it yet, but I'll be catching up with Mark Weber of The Province, theprovince.com, Post Media. He's my colleague, everyone. Again, he doesn't know it yet, but I'll be catching up with Weebs, and we'll talk, and we'll rant, and we'll rave some more about Whitecaps 2016 and how it all came to be. Maybe we'll get together at Milano Coffee. We'll take the laptop out. We'll talk. We'll record. we'll see what's up. But he'll be joining me here in the next little while. Again, I'm on Twitter at Mike Martinego. The show, you know it, it's Off the Pitch. Follow me there for more details, for more information. I'm on theprovince.com. I'm on SoundCloud. And be sure to subscribe and download and listen and love on iTunes. Thanks again, everyone. We'll do it again very soon. Off the Pitch. Soccer Mike Martinego.